Thomas, he delivers your message, Lord. And I just pray that you are laying upon each of us what you would like us to get from the sermon today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sick boy. Isaiah 43 would be a good place to start today. Dun, 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 dun. I was at church yesterday afternoon and I was driving home. It was raining over here. It was raining pretty hard. And when I got to the bridge on the other side of town, there wasn't a drop. You ever seen that happen before? I remember when I was a kid, this first time I ever saw that. It was raining on our side of the street, but not on the other. Or maybe it was the other way. I don't know which way it was. But it was okay. I'm going to set this book. Has anybody read this book? Anybody? Kinda? Somebody? 'Tis a good book. Only one more sermon from it. And then I'm going to have to figure out something else. There is no rock. There is no God like ours.
Amen.
Rock of Ages. We haven't sung that song in a long time, have we? Rock of Ages. Do y'all believe that God can do anything? Wait a minute. Close. No, listen carefully. Do y'all believe that God can do anything?
Yes.
Do you really? It's just a question. Because sometimes I think we don't. Sometimes I think that we are faced with all these things and God might answer things for other people. God might bless other people, but somehow we're missing out on God's blessing. Somehow God's not speaking to us the way we think we should. He should. There are a few things that Tozer says over and over in this book, or in this chapter anyway. He says it several different ways. Here are two of them. What God has ever done for anyone, he will do for anybody else. What God has ever done for anyone, he will do for anybody else. The second thing is anything God ever did for anyone in faith, he will do for anyone else who meets his conditions. Do y'all believe that?
Amen.
Do y'all believe that God can part the sea still? Do y'all believe that God can lead his people out of Egypt? Do y'all believe that God can raise the dead? Do y'all believe that God can save, still save? Is there anything too great for our God?
No.
Forsaking all, I trust him, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. That means nothing matters except my faith in him. You want to find faith in the Bible? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In verse 6 of chapter 11, it says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Y'all hear that? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. So the question again this morning is, do we really believe that God will do for us what he's done for others? Do y'all believe that? Just a question. We sometimes think he might do it for someone else. As a matter of fact, he has done it for someone else. But I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. Charles Stanley says there are three kinds of faith. There is faith, which is, I think that God can. And there is great faith, which says, I believe that God will. And there's perfect faith, which says, I believe he's already done it. Great faith, and perfect faith. Where are we in this? Do you believe that God can and will do and has already done things in your life? Do you? Catherine, I think you're right this morning. I think you're right. I think the rain has settled in. Anyway, Isaiah 43, stand with me as I read. I'm just going to read the first three verses this morning, and then we'll get into the rest of it later on. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's far enough. What's God say? I am your Lord. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word today and how it speaks to us. And Lord, I pray today that you will increase our faith. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And so today, we bring everything we are and we lay them at the altar. We ask you to do in our lives what only you can do. And we will be careful to give you honor and glory because you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you that you are our rock. You are our anchor. You're the one who holds us when the rivers around us seem to be swirling and taking everything away. And Father, we have faith that you will continue to work in our lives, that you will continue to demonstrate for us how faithful you are. And we'll praise you in your holy name. Amen. Be seated. Does anybody ever have fun coming to church? I mean, does anybody? Sebby has his hand up. A few others are smiling. But it's good to have fun coming to church. If you can't have fun at church, you can't have fun anywhere. Does that make sense? Makes sense to me. One of my core values is fun. Y'all know, y'all have core values. Things that are absolutely true in your life. If it's not fun, and I know that everything's not fun, but part of it is if it's not fun, don't do it. I love to have fun. And I have fun talking about God. I have fun preaching His Word. And so y'all have fun listening to it today, will you? It can be all right. Smile. It can be all right. Faith is the key. Faith is the victory. That's why we sang that song today. Faith is our victory. Here it is again. Anything God promised and did at any time, in any place, for anybody, God will do for us here if we meet His conditions. Look at verse 1 in Isaiah chapter 43. But thus says the Lord. When's the last time you heard God speak? It's just a question. When's the last time you heard God speak? How does God speak to us? He speaks by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to the church, right? To people, through circumstances, through His Word, through prayer. When's the last time you heard the voice of God? Thus says the Lord. If the Bible says, thus says the Lord, there must then be hearers, shouldn't there? Here's what I'm saying, are you listening? He who created you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel. Can we trust a God who is our creator? Can we trust a God who has made us who we are? Can we trust a God who is forming us into the image of His Son? Can we? There are a number of names for God in the Scripture. I can't even count them. I know that I've gone through experiencing God several times, and on the last couple pages, there are two or three pages of the names of God and two or three pages of the names of Jesus. But Tozer picks out seven. Let me share them with you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Do you ever think of God as the provider? My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He provides for us. He meets every need we have. Physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. God meets all those needs. And if God is faithful in meeting those needs, can we trust Him? Can we place our faith in Him? Can we believe His promises? Can we believe the Creator of all the earth? Is there anything too great for Him? Is there? That's exactly right. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Tozer says this, the doctrine of divine healing is divided into two classes. And you've seen these things. The first is those who are making a circus of it. Those who are making a circus of divine healing. All you have to do is turn your TV on. All you have to do is turn the TV on. It is amazing to me how you can have television shows which are completely, television ministries, which are completely devoted to the healing. Now, God heals. Hear me say, God heals. I believe with all my heart that God heals. But it's not some kind of circus. It's not some kind of thing where you come down an aisle and somebody prays for you and throws your wheelchair away. It's not some kind of circus where somebody walks an aisle and you take their medicine and you throw it away over there. It's not some kind of circus. Listen, listen carefully. I believe that God heals and I believe that God uses people to heal. Don't you? But if I had that gift of healing, you would never see me in this building again. The first place in this city I would go would be Children's Hospital. And I would heal the children with cancer, and I would heal the children with heart disease, and I would do whatever it was that God wanted me to do to provide His healing to those who needed it. I would be in the hospitals. People need healing all the time. And yet, listen to me, God does heal. And then the second class are those who are discouraged, and they're trying to believe. They're trying to believe that God can heal. They're trying to believe that God will heal. So Tozer says there's very little knowledge of divine healing in the church. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. The banner of the Lord going before His people. The banner of victory. God is the one who goes before us. God is the one who comes behind us. He is the Lord, our banner. If you're going through a difficult time in life, remember this, victory, there's victory in Jesus. God has the banner. He goes before us. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is found in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, could be 1st, in chapter 20, when all these armies are coming against Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat, who's the king, calls a prayer meeting. And a prophet comes and says, this is what you need to do. Stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. So they line up in a peculiar position. The choir goes out before the army. Wait a minute, we're going into battle. We're going to face up to 1 million men. And you're telling me the choir is going to lead us out? Stand and watch the salvation of God. So they go out, and on the way out, God stirs the enemy so that they start fighting among themselves, and when they get there, everybody's dead. God fought the battle. God is our banner. God is our victory. Victory, there's victory in Jesus. We sing that song once in a while. Anybody ever get excited about singing that song? Or is it, oh, victory. You know, every once in a while we sing songs, hymns like funeral dirges. That would be a little peppy once in a while. We ought to be celebrating, shouldn't we? Faith is the victory. I could sing that song 1,000 miles an hour. I know that it's not written that way. I understand that. But I digress. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Whatever we're going through, He is our peace. He's the peace that passes understanding. He is the peace in the middle of the storm. He's the one in the back of the boat when we get afraid, and He stands up and says, peace. Be still. And the winds stop. And the waves stop. He's our peace. Jehovah Roy, the Lord our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, sheep are pretty stupid people. Well, they're not people. I guess we could be sheep sometimes. But sheep are pretty stupid animals. And the shepherd knows exactly where to lead them because sheep are afraid of running water. And so He takes them in a place where they can be at peace. He knows the best places for the sheep to graze. You know, He's our shepherd as well. He knows what's best for us. He knows how to take care of us. Now here's one that was hard for me to learn how to pronounce several years ago. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present here. In Hebrews it says the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. So let me ask you today, is the Lord present in this place? Is He? When we come to worship, we ought to realize that His presence fills this place. We ought to be able to bask in His presence. We ought to be able to swim in the ocean of His grace. We ought to just be completely focused on Him, and we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Thus says the Lord. Now let's spend a little bit of time in Isaiah 43. Fear not. Over and over again in Scripture, God says, fear not. One of our favorite passages is in John chapter 14. Where He says to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. In John chapter 14, verse 27, He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because I'm with you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I don't have to be afraid because He's with me. He walks with me. It's what the hymn writer talked about in the garden. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. Y'all believe that? We're getting better. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Listen to these things. I have called you by name. He knows us. You are mine. We belong to Him. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Let's just think for a minute. God establishes a relationship with His people, doesn't He? I am the Lord, your God. Not I am the Lord, a God. He is the Lord, my God. He is the Lord, your God. He is the Lord who knows us and loves us, walks with us, talks with us, heals us, and forgives us. That's exactly right, Stephanie. Listen carefully, verse 4, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. You ever realize how precious you are to God? Do you? How precious are we to God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How precious are we? He sees us not only as precious, but also as honored. I love you. When everything else is going south, when everything else is falling apart, we need to remember that He loves us. We can take consolation in the fact that He loves us. We can rejoice in the fact that He loves us. We can stay constant in the fact that He loves us. If nobody else loves you at all, if everybody that you know walked out of your life, remember this, God still loves you. You are precious to Him. You are honored. You are His. Verse 5, fear not again, for I am with you. Look over at verse 11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no other, there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God, and henceforth I am He. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it? John chapter 10. Let me just turn over there just a minute. You can probably get there quicker on the screen than I can, John. It's in here somewhere. Y'all mind if I read the whole chapter to get where I'm going to go? Because this was not in the sermon. Anyway, here it is. I can't find it. It's in there somewhere. Find it yourself later on. John chapter 10. What it says is, I am in my Father's hand, and you are in my hand. And is there anything, basically, that can separate you when God has his hand around you, when it is also, when also the Son has his hand around you? And come up here, Mike Jones and Jim. This wasn't in this either. Put your hands together. Put your hands around his. Turn and face me. Your hands, not your arms. All right, Jeff Henry, come here. Hold on tight. I want you to pull Mike Jones' right arm out of this. Can you? Whew, good thing. God has us surrounded by his love. We are in the hands of the Father, we are in the hands of the Son, and God wraps his hands around us. Can anything separate us from that? Did you find it, Rick? All right, let me get there. Whew, man, when I was saying I can't find it, I saw Rick pull his Bible out, and they got it over here. So anyway, we'll start in verse 26. But you do not believe because you were not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are absolutely safe. We are absolutely secure because we are absolutely loved. It is an incredible thing. Back to Isaiah. I can find this one. I have it marked. Verse 14, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I send to Babylon, bring them all down as fugitives, even the Chaldeans and the ships in which they rejoice. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Years ago, Gene, I don't know if you remember this or not, but years ago, 1993, Billy Graham was coming to Columbus. And there were about 80 or 85 pastors from Central Ohio who went to Euclid on a bus, stayed at a Catholic retreat center, and prayed for what was going to happen when Billy Graham came. We got together and we decided no one was going to preach. There were Pentecostals and Charismatics. No one was going to speak in tongues. We were just going to share the word and pray and worship. And I experienced some things in that place at that time I had never experienced before. Never. And I came home and I said to Gene, something has changed. God has begun to do new things in my life. Do you remember this, Gene? There are new rivers. God has begun to do new things in my life so I can understand him more. Can God do that in our lives? I will do that, he says. I will do new things in your life. I will make a way in the wilderness. I will make rivers in the desert. Now, here's the problem. This is where we get in trouble. We talked about the need for faith with believers, didn't we? The need to have faith. And one of the reasons that we don't see God at work more, doing what he can do, unleashing his awesome power in the church, is because we don't believe he can. Overall, I don't think the church, not just this church, but the church in America, I don't believe that we think that God is still on the throne, that God can choose to do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it. If we really believe that, this political mess wouldn't matter to any of us. He is still on the throne. He's in charge. Nothing will happen without his permission. Nothing. Verse 22. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob. But you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me your sheep for burnt offerings, or honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with offerings, or wearied you with frankincense. You have not brought me sweet cane with money, or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you became weary in praying? When's the last time you were so burdened that you could do nothing but pray? When is the last time that you sought God and you would not let go until you heard His voice? Does He respond? Absolutely. I am the Lord. I say, I speak to you. I am He, in verse 25, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. By the way, Tozer says something, and I'm just going to mention this in passing. Tozer says something that about the fact that your past can paralyze your present and your future. That you can get to a place where you realize, where you think, I have done this in the past, and there is no way God can work in my life now. I've done this, I've experienced this, and God can no longer do what He wants to do in my life. Anybody ever feel that way? Listen carefully. What God has ever done for anyone, God can and will do for us. You believe that? What He's done for anyone, He can and will do for us. David sinned. David committed adultery. David committed murder. Did God forgive him? Is there anything too great for God? Is there anything He cannot do? Gideon tested God. Give me the wet on top. Give me the dry on top. Did God do that? God reduced His army down to, what, 300 people, and he destroyed the enemy. Is there anything too great for God? Whew, man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, I told some people this morning, I might get excited today. I might start jumping up and down. If I start jumping up and down, just let me go. It'll be okay. Somebody else said, well, it'll be good cardio. Well, maybe we ought to have a little more cardio. Just thinking. You've wearied me. You are precious. Verse 19. Behold, I will. Jehovah, Yahweh. The name of God, it was so holy the Jews would not speak it. Jehovah is, I am who I am. I will be what I will be. I will be for you whatever you need me to be for you. Y'all believe that? Do y'all believe that God can do anything in your life? Do you believe that God is there, can meet your needs regardless of what's going on in your life? That God can heal your relationship, that God can heal your body, that God can save you, that God can heal you emotionally, that God can do anything that you believe He can do. Now, I understand this, too. I don't want to become one of those word of faith guys. I don't want to be one of those guys that says, you know, if you're not healed, it's because you don't believe. Listen, God chooses to heal, doesn't He? He also chooses not to heal. And I'm not sure why He chooses. I just know that He's sovereign. And I know God can do anything He chooses to do. I prayed, and I've told you before, I prayed every day for my mother that she would be healed. My mom had emphysema and cancer, lung cancer, and I prayed every day that she would be healed. Was she? Yes. When she closed her eyes in death, she was healed. And she never had cancer again. And she never had trouble breathing again. God healed. Sometimes that's the way God heals. Sometimes, just like Lazarus did, we get up off the deathbed and we move forward. Isaiah 44, verse 6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am first and I am last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from old and declared it? and you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any appropriate song this morning, Mike. There is no rock. There is no God like our God. Y'all believe that? Y'all can get excited about this stuff if you want. Y'all can say praise God once in a while. Y'all can say amen. God, you know, I will thank you, God. I will praise you, Lord. I will do these things for you. Hallelujah. You ever think about those things? Or you know, we're the church of the frozen chosen. They can thaw out, but I can't do that. I stole this verse the other day, and you know this verse. And I was reading Joyce's blog on her Caring Bridge. And she and Rick have latched on to this verse. It's Isaiah 41:10. Listen carefully. Fear not. Have we heard that this morning already? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. I will help you. Verse 13 says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. Oh, my. Think of that. Just think of that, that God holds our hand. Does anybody get excited about that? Anybody besides Sebi? Anybody? It's like, it's just like, y'all remember Ferris Bueller's Day Out? Anybody remember that movie? And Ferris Bueller decides he's going to stay home. And he's got this elaborate plan all day. And Ben Stein is the teacher in the class. And he's taking roll. And he goes, Bueller. Bueller, Bueller, never, in a monotone the whole way across. And I'm thinking, church, 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 are we here? Listen, he is our provider. He is our healer. He is our victory. He is our peace. He is our shepherd. He is our righteousness. He is present here. Is there anything he cannot do? And all God's people said, no. Said amen. I answered the questions no or yes or whatever. Anyway, can he do anything? I want to read you this part of Tozer's book because he says things better than I can sometimes. Well, better than I can anytime. But there are a couple things in here, and pardon me if I get excited when I read this. No, don't pardon me at all. Get excited too. But I hear another voice saying, I am who I am. Since I've been a Christian, I've lived for that voice. I have lived to hear God say, I am who I am. You can't, but I can. You aren't, but I am. You are not able, but I am able. You have no wisdom, but I am Jehovah, and I have the wisdom. Does that sound like James chapter 1? If we could shake off our sophistication, our pseudo-learning, and the cheap crust of unbelief that is over us, we could hear him say, I am that I am, and I am with you. I am on your side. My son died for you, and hell cannot take you out of my hands. You are made for my glory. I formed you for myself to praise me. If you will only believe, I will give you waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will give drink to my people, my chosen. I will do these things for you. An element of the supernatural enters here. Nature says it cannot be, and nature is right. But God steps in and says, I am who I am, and it can be. And God is right. I cannot win against my enemies, but God says, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. If we will unite our hearts and intentions and dare to believe it, we will see God begin to move in great strength and in great power. Do y'all believe that? If we just unite, if we just come together and pray, we will see God do amazing things in our midst. Do y'all believe that? Why is it that we don't see God at work? It's because we don't pray. It's because we don't believe. Sometimes I think it's because we don't care. Now, I know we're not all outgoing. I understand that. But at the same time, somewhere inside of you right now ought to be resonating, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let me finish reading this. We will see coming down from heaven that which we so desperately struggled to bring in from the outside. He says, too, that we sometimes beg for revival. And we've been known to, and churches have been known, and this probably several years ago, to fly in people from Ireland or England, or to bring people in from large churches because something maybe has happened in their churches, and we believe that whatever's going to happen, they're bringing with them, that they bring the revival with them, that they bring the special movement of God with them. Listen carefully. If revival isn't already there, they can't bring it with them. You can't put revival in a suitcase. You can't come and just unleash it and open it up. Revival means that God's people get stirred again and decide to live again for God. That we're turning our lives over to God. That's what revival is. Revival has nothing to do with reaching the lost. The reaching the lost is a byproduct of revival. When God's people get revived, when God's people decide to be God's people, when God's people decide to call upon Him, revival will come into church, and when revival comes, people will be saved. That's just the way it is. When God's people get revived, they will go out and share the gospel. When God's people go out and share the gospel, people will be saved. People will come. People will fill buildings. If every church in Gehenna this morning was filled twice, 70% of the people in Gehenna would still be outside of church. We will see the great, and it would not be said, this man did it, or that woman did it. But we can all say together, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Is there anything too great for Him? Is there anything He cannot do? Then get down on your knees and beg Him to do it. You know, basically, my two favorite verses on prayer are found in 1 John. And I'll be able to find these. I promise. First John chapter 5. Verse 13 says this. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. What's it say? We have confidence. We can have confidence that if we ask anything according to His will. How do we discern His will? We spend time with Him. We pray. We read the Scripture. We hear from the Holy Spirit as He leads us. We have confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of Him. Is there anything too hard for God? Fear not. I am the Lord, your God. I will do these things. Father, we thank You for Your word today and how it speaks to us. Lord, I pray that we would realize there is nothing too hard for You.